that you would have to sit on the sidewalk. Somebody really wasn't thinking about that, and that planning just kind of failed. For you husbands or others that are industrious and you think that something's not right, and you go and you try to fix it yourself, and you find it says, my husband got tired of one of these, of the washing machine that was just not working properly, and decided to take it apart. And folks, when we try to do things on our own, on a spiritual level, we will probably fail. I've seen that. That picture has been in my pantry too, with our washing machine also. But we've all been there. You know, we don't want things to fail, but we find out that things do fail. You know, and you go to plan A, and then you go to plan B, and then you go to plan C, and that one doesn't work, and you wind up having to use double letters in the alphabet, AA and AB and all everything else, because all of our plans just keep on going and going and going and going and going, and we fail. But I'll tell you what doesn't fail. Prayer does not fail. You know, we might try to fix ourselves, but in the book of James in chapter 5, we will find a thing about prayer that doesn't fail, but prayer that actually works. So in our text tonight, I'm looking at James chapter 5, verses 13 through 18, and you can follow along in your Bible. And it says, "If is any among you afflicted, let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him." Verse 16, "Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." Elias, or Elijah, was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. This has been burdened on my heart. Every verse in this passage has prayer in it. Every verse in this passage talks about that we should pray. When should we pray? Well, we see several things in this passage. The first one is when we're afflicted. I think this is a good time that we should pray. Amen. Because we're going through some extraordinary, and the overused phrase of uncertain times. So when you have an issue, when you are afflicted, when something's not going right, that's a cue to pray. We should pray when we're sick. And take some medicine too. Okay? And go seek some advice and follow that too. And not only should you pray, but you ought to ask other people to pray too. It says here, let the elders of the church, someone else in the church, come and pray with you. Boy, I tell you what, prayer gives comfort. Especially when they know, when you know someone else is praying for you. So when should we pray? We should pray when we're afflicted. When should we pray? We should pray when sick. When should we pray? When we need spiritual healing. Verse 15 says, committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. We should pray for spiritual healing for ourselves, within ourselves. And then the next thing is, the next verse talks about confess your faults one to another. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, but pray for one another that you may be what? Healed. And this is now talking about not a physical healing, but a spiritual healing, because we're dealing with spiritual faults. Faults. So when should we pray? When we're afflicted. When should we pray? When we're sick. When should we pray for spiritual healing? And lastly, when should we pray for God's will to be done? You can study the life of Elijah in 1 Kings. And he was a prophet that, you know, went up against the kings and everything else. And he was bringing God's judgment onto Israel, especially the northern kingdom, because they were following a wicked king, Ahab, and his wife Jezebel. And so we need to pray for God's will to be done. You know, and then the other thing is, you know, well, I'm not a spiritual giant like Elijah. I'm not like Paul. I'm not like one of the apostles. It doesn't matter. And I think this is why James writes this. He says, Elijah was a man subject to the passions, to like passions as we are. He was cut from the same cloth. He had the same issues. And he could call down the power of God.
Amen.
And stop it from raining. He could call down fire from heaven, folks. We could have that type of power.
Yes, sir.
If we really, God is not holding anything back. So when should we pray? When afflicted, when we're sick, for spiritual healing within ourselves and for others, and even our nation. 2 Chronicles 7:14 talks about that. My people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and turn from the wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, heal them, and heal their land. When should we pray? All the time.
Yes.
In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, pray without ceasing. You don't have to schedule it in your day. When God tells you to do something, you feel the Holy Spirit do it. You need to do it then. Pray without ceasing. That's why we have a prayer chain. That's why we take prayer requests. And then we pray for them then. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, a verse that we've been going around in a very familiar passage. Be anxious or be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So when should we pray? When afflicted. When should we pray? When we're sick. When should we pray? When we need spiritual healing within ourselves or within the group. When should we pray? What should we pray for? We should pray for God's will to be done. We should be ready to pray at any time. See, Paul told Timothy to be instant. Be instant. That means to be ready at any time to do that. And then Philippians 4:6 says, in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So, tonight I want to look at five things. And we'll look at this middle piece of this passage. It says, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. But you know something about prayer? You got to have one.
Yeah.
If there is no prayer, there is no answer. So you have to have the prayer, a prayer. We have to have that. And it said in Luke chapter 11, verses 9 through 10. You can also see it in Matthew. It says, this is right after the disciples come to Christ and say, teach us how to pray. And Christ goes on and he says, and I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For, look at this verse, for everyone. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. Now, you may not get the answer you want, but you will get an answer. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be open. You know, Will tells our kids, well, if you want something, you got to what? Ask for it. And our Heavenly Father is saying in this passage, says, if you need something, ask for it. In Psalms it says, commit thy way into the world, Lord, and He'll bring it to pass. He'll give you the desires of your heart. But our heart needs to be right with God. So the first thing we need to do is, we can sit and we can think about models for prayer. And we can think about, we could even write our prayer down or say, we need to do it. Pray without ceasing. Be careful for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication. But if you don't ask, you won't get. Okay? So the first part that we have to do, that prayer works, is that no prayer, no answer. I just don't understand why God doesn't come by. Do you pray? Do you pray? Like I said, it was an interesting week to see God answer prayer. And He's just waiting. He says, see if I just don't pour out a blessing. You cannot possibly contain it. So the first thing about prayer that works is you got to pray. The second thing is, it's got to be effectual. Okay? It has to be the effectual, fervent prayer. It has to be effectual. It has to have, the word for effectual means to have an effect. Or to have an impact. But the issue is, it should be a targeted prayer. You know, all too often we pray in these general terms. God save everyone. Well, that might work in a movie. Okay? But we need to pray specifically. We need to pray specifically. You know, in Exodus chapter 15, verses 23 and 24... they were out in the wilderness and there wasn't any water. It wasn't an issue of food. They didn't say, feed me. They said, give us something to drink. And it says, and the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? And he cried unto the Lord. And the Lord showed him a tree. That was the answer to prayer right there. And it was immediate. Which when he had cast into the waters made sweet. There he made for them a statute and ordinance, and there he proved them. See, effectual prayer is to have an effect or to have a target. Look at other ones. Gideon. Gideon asked for who would go with him and fight this battle with the Midianites. Hannah. Childless, and she specifically asked for a child. Solomon asked for wisdom. And not only did he get wisdom, he got riches too. Because God said, you got the right heart. You got the right attitude here. And then the early church prayed for boldness and power, and the room was shaken again. Because we know that God is going to move heaven and earth. He wants to show Himself strong on behalf of those that call on His name. And so, we need to pray. No prayer, no answer. You're just hoping on God's mercy. And when you pray, prayer that works has to be effectual. It has to have an effect. It needs to be target. It needs to be specific for the need at hand. If you go back to Luke, he says, if your son asks for a fish, do you give him a stone? And the answer to that is, well, no. And then he goes on and says, well, God knows what you need. Just ask Him for it. Just asking for it. The third thing is it needs to be fervent. To be fervent, it means to be not superficial or self-pious or self-righteous or holier than thou. In Luke chapter 18, verses 9 through 14, we've seen this parable before. It's the parable of the Pharisee and the publican. And they're both at the temple to pray. They both, the publican had a real need. The Pharisee was just looking on the superficial. He was looking on the shallow. And oh, too much, I think our prayers are too shallow. They're too broad and they're too shallow. We need to be specific. It might take some time. Well, I have all these requests. It might take some time. But isn't it worth it? Isn't it worth it to do that? And so Christ is talking about this, about prayer. And he says, and he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went to the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. Well, la-di-da. Okay? It wasn't the fast that God had chosen. You need to go read Isaiah 58 on that one. I give tithes of all that possess. Well, yep, you're supposed to. And this publican, standing afar off, would not even lift up so much his eyes in heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Christ is given the illustration. He says, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalted himself shall be abased, and he that humbled himself shall be exalted. You know, being fervent means to really mean business. You know, we go and we talk to our wives and say, I love you. Okay? And the tone and the inflection and the heart behind it really says, I'm just saying it, or I really mean it. And fervent prayer means that we truly, truly mean it. And so when we get apart to God, or whenever we pray, we need to pray. Because no prayer, no answer. It needs to be effectual. It needs to be specific and targeted. God knows we have those needs. And He's going to provide what we should get. And then it needs to be fervent. Fervent means not superficial. And you know what else it does? If you go and you go further up in chapter 18, it talks about this widow who kept on going to the judge and keep on saying, avenge me of my adversary. And the point was, is that we're supposed to be persistent in prayer. You know, oftentimes I think that we just pray for one of these requests, and sometimes we don't pray for all the requests that were made all the time. But I hope that we will just continue to pray, or at least check up on it until we see an answer, until we see where God is moving. And that's my goal, and that should be your goal too. So it needs to be a prayer. It needs to be effectual. It needs to be fervent. The next requirement, it needs to be from a righteous person. I've been preaching on a lot of things, but they all come down this one thought. We must be holy. We are Christians and we must be Christ-like. We've got to put off the old man and put on the new man. We got to not forget those things which are behind and press toward the mark, the prize, the high calling of Christ, of Christ, God in Christ Jesus. We need to do those things. And it needs to be from a righteous person. For prayer to be heard, we need to be righteous. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 15, verse 29, it says, the Lord is far from the wicked, but He heareth the prayer of the righteous. The God is far from the wicked, but he heareth the prayer of the righteous. Psalm 66:18. Some of you could probably quote this. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. When the nation of Israel was getting ready to go to the promised land, they'd been walking through the wilderness. He said, look, he said, you turn away from me, I'm not going to listen to your prayers. Some of the kings said their prayers were like going up against ceilings of brass. And the fact is that if we're regarding iniquity in our heart, if we just have evil thoughts, how can you pray for someone if you have hatred for them? How can you pray for someone if you don't, if you're constantly being critical of them? It won't work. Because keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And we can have prayers that we say that we really don't mean. But if we have a righteous heart, we'll have a righteous prayer. If we have a righteous heart, we'll want to pray. If we have a righteous heart, we'll want to intervene on someone else's behalf. If we have a righteous heart, we'll know what is needed here. If we have a righteous heart, we'll be fervent about it. And we'll be persistent about it until we see an answer. But if we're walking away from God, don't expect God to hear your prayer except for the prayer of repentance. Doesn't work that way. So the Lord is far from the wicked, but he heareth the prayer of the righteous. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Proverbs 28:9 says this, he that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination. We're coming when prayer, we're boldly approaching the throne of grace. We're coming into the presence of the holy God, where there is no sin, there is no darkness, there is no shadow of turning, there is no lie, there is no wickedness. We're coming into his presence and asking him to intercede for us. And when we come into his presence, we need to be prepared righteously. So no prayer, no answer. It needs to be effectual. It needs to have a target. It needs to have effect. It needs to be fervent, not superficial. And then it needs, for a prayer to be heard, it needs to come from a righteous person. I like these little things where these little phrases in the Bible, these little pieces of verses that summarize something so succinctly. Oh Lord, help me to pray. Oh Lord, help me to pray specifically. Oh Lord, help me to pray with all of my heart and all of my energy and all of my mind. Oh Lord, help me to be righteous. If there's any wickedness in me, take it away. I want my prayers to be heard. Oh, those are prayers. And the last thing is prayer that works. Because it avails much. It avails much. See, the availeth means to be able. So what does this really mean? No prayer, no answer. If it's not specific, it's not going to work. If it's not fervent, it's not going to work. If we're not righteous, it's not going to work. It says these are the conditions. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man then avails much. That prayer is able to get something done. That prayer is something that will get answered. In John chapter 14, verses 12 through 14, Christ says, he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I shall do, I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. And you know something? Every time Christ did something, he did what? He prayed. Well, that's the New Testament. What about Nehemiah? Nehemiah in the Old Testament, every time he was willing to go to the king and beseech for Israel, he prayed. Every time he was confronted and afflicted by the enemies around Jerusalem, he prayed. Every time there was too much rubbish on the wall, he prayed. Every time there was sin in the camp, he prayed. Every time that there was breaking of the Sabbath, he prayed. Jeremiah, the same way. They prayed. And they had a national impact. What would happen, folks, if our church got fervent in prayer? It would change your life. It changed your family. It changed your church. It changed our city. We need to be effectual and fervent and righteous, and we need to pray. Verse 13, and whatsoever ye ask in my name. Now, what does that really mean? Don't pray for something that Jesus wouldn't approve of. You know why? Not going to happen. Okay? Don't pray for you to go out and do sin. It's not going to happen. Don't pray that you won't get caught. That's not going to happen. It needs to be in accordance with God's word. It needs to be in accordance with God's will. He says, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do. And we know that the God's promises are certain. And this is a spiritual truth. And we know it's certain. We know it's certain. That the Father may be glorified in the Son. We don't have faith healers, but we have people that can pray that their faith can heal. That the prayer of faith will heal. That's what this passage says. And then verse 14 says, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. But you know what? This kind of goes off what we've been talking about this morning. Let's all walk by the same rule. Let's all have this mind in us. Let's all do the same thing. Let's be examples, like Paul was an example. And then our will be God's will. Remember, Christ's last prayer before he was on the cross basically was, not my will, but thy will be done. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 8. I want you to think about this as we close. It says, the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination of the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. Amen. You want to make God happy? You want to make God look down from heaven and say, that's my child? We pray as righteous people because God's just waiting. He's just waiting. And the Old Testament says that he goes to and fro looking for those he can show his strength to and act on their behalf. I hope that's us. I hope that's our church. I hope that's our families. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So I close with this question. Are your prayers working? If not, look at the simple formula. You know, God's formulas on things are really, really simple. Are we praying? No prayer, no answer. Are we being effectual? Are we being targeted and specific? Are we being fervent about this and just not, I'm just going to say some words and have it done? You know, God said, Christ said, he says, don't do like the heathen do with this vain repetition, thinking that through their much speaking they would be heard. Mm-hmm. See, that's superficial. That's just too routine. It's got to come from your heart. And then we need to be righteous. And then this verse says, it will avail much. Just like God's word won't come back void, our prayers won't come back void. So tonight, are your prayers working? Or is God revealing something? Hey, I need to change this in my prayer life. I hope you do that tonight. We'll have a verse of invitation. You could tell God that. He could straighten that out tonight with you. Oh, please, please, let's be people of prayer. Because prayer gives power. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, Lord, we just thank you for this time. Lord, I just ask that you just help us in this time of invitation. Father, show us what we need to do. Help us, Lord, to be people of prayer. Lord, if there's someone that doesn't know you as Savior, Father, I pray that tonight they realize that you are the Son of God, that you died on the cross for their sins, that you're buried and rose again to pay the penalty for their sins, and that you're sitting in heaven, and that they would cry out to you and they would ask for forgiveness of their sins, and that you would be their Savior. They would follow you. Lord, I pray for that to happen to someone tonight. But Lord, I pray that our prayers from this point forward be powerful and effectual. I ask, Lord, tonight that this church would be known as a church of prayer. And prayer that gets results. Help us, Lord, in this time. We ask these things in your Son's name. Amen.
Without